Brother Randall, back in the old days, we used to do that a lot down in the college crossroads, didn't we?
Young preacher, God would move like this. I'd preach, I'd be done at 11. We'd just go home. Nothing wrong with that. Churches got way too formal, you hear me? We're not here to try to impress nobody. I could just really care what you drive. And I don't care what you wear as long as you got your nakedness covered up. I mean, that'd suit me if that's 350 here in overalls this morning. I don't care what you wear. Wear your duck blind. I don't care what you wear. Wear your muck boots. I don't care what you wear. I'm not into this religion stuff. I'm all about what's real, what's changed. Listen, religion didn't do nothing for me. I run from it. It was boring. My ADD don't like boring church. I'm glad we got a God that ain't boring. And honey, if you think it's boring being a Christian, you just ought to walk around with me a while. There's nothing like old time religion. You listen to me. There's nothing like knowing, like what Brother David said and many others have said, knowing that your name's written down yonder in glory. Nothing like knowing. And there's nothing as bad as not knowing. I'm glad I'm saved. And it's not because I've done something to deserve it. But by the grace of God, He came to where I was. Brother David said that He swept down. You remember in Luke 15, Brother Jake, there was the lost son, the lost sheep, and the lost silver. She was sweeping the floor and found it. And she reached down and picked it up. Now, I'm glad when He found me, He put me in His pocket. And now He's spending me around places. I'm glad He swept down and found me, Brother David. Luke 7, verse 1. Now, when He had ended all His sayings in the audience of the people, Jesus believed in preaching. I don't know why you don't believe in preaching. We don't need tickling sermons. We need straight sermons. And a man can preach straight and not be mean. Somebody say amen. When it ended, all His sayings. Now, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. When God's done a talking, you better do something with what He said. He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto Him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto Him the elders of the Jews, beseeching Him that He would come and heal His servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought Him instantly, saying that He was worthy for whom He should do this. For He loveth our nation, He hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. When He was now not far from the house, glory. Somebody shout glory right there. When Jesus went with them, when He was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to Him, saying to Him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Things fixing to pick up now down at Capernaum. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But here it is, Brother Duane. But say in a word, and thy servant shall be healed. For I also am a man that sat under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He said, I don't have to lift a finger at nothing. When Jesus heard these things, look what He said. He marveled at Him. Can you imagine God being marveled? Wow. And turned Him about and said to the people that followed Him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. and they that were sent return into the house. I'm glad we got a God and go home with you. He found the servant whole that had been sick. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for this good day that you've given us. Thank you for stirring in our hearts this morning. God, help us now, let preaching be easy. If it'd be one here lost today, oh Lord, I pray you'd save them by your amazing grace. Help the wayward one today. Help the discouraged and the brokenhearted. Help me, you preacher. I need you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We thought about the miracles from the Master. We've talked about the first miracle that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee at the marriage. Then we had talked about a fever miracle. Then we spoke about a funeral miracle. But this morning, I want to talk about this faith miracle. You'll notice, first of all, there was a meeting involved. I'm glad Jesus is still in the meeting business. Now, when it ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. I can tell you, when you know Jesus has showed up, everybody at the meeting knows he was there. There's a lot of churches going through formality today, but Jesus sitting there in the audience speaking. Oh, yes, they bring him to church, but I'm glad that the book says, stir up the gifts that are within you. A lot of you have been stirred this morning. Therefore, you'll notice that there that Jesus had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people. I want to say, he didn't hide what he had to say. He didn't go over in a corner and say it so nobody could understand it. He shouted it from the housetop. Jesus saves you. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. There's a church to belong to. That's the blood washed band. Written down in heaven. I'm glad I'm a member of that church this morning. And I'm glad I'm a member of the local church. Liberty Baptist Church. And I will say it's a good church. It's a right church. It's a King James Bible preaching church. It's a place where you can come and hear the Word of God. It's a place where you can come and find some people of God. Are there hypocrites? Why, sure. There's people here, ain't it? Then there's hypocrites. But there's some that's the real deal. And you say, well, I'm not going to go to that church because hypocrites. Well, then you're not going to go to church the rest of your life. Because there's always going to be hypocrites. Jesus dealt with them his whole ministry. He just kept preaching. Man, Jesus can save a hypocrite. I was reading the other day where Jesus saved Zacchaeus. He is up a tree. He can even save a tree hugger. Somebody say amen. Ah, you little tree-hugging looking something. Little hen-pecked looking rascal. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus can do anything. Wouldn't it be a blessing? I want to say this. Isn't it a blessing that we ain't got to read about a service where Jesus was in, but we can be in a service where Jesus is? So there was a meeting. Secondly, there was a man in verse number 2. The Bible said he was a certain centurion. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Now I want to focus on this man just a minute. He was a soldier. A centurion, he worked for Rome and he was there in the Jewish community being sure that everybody abided by the law and the order. And this centurion was there. And I want you to think just a minute about this man and his life. He had a lot of hindrances in his life. I think a lot of times that we blame our environment. We blame our circumstances on why we won't or can't serve God. That's a cop-out. If anybody had an excuse to not serve God, this man probably did, because he is in a rough crowd. He was a soldier. Friend, he knew what fighting was about. This man had guts. This man had brass on his face. This man dealt with the circumstances around him. He was a centurion. He was a soldier, and it speaks of his life. But secondly, on this man, not only a soldier speaks of his life, but it speaks of his loyalty. Look what he done. The Bible said that in verse 5 that this man, he loves our nation and he built us a synagogue. This man took his money and used it for God's work. I want to remind some of you about something this morning. God's not blessed you with this world's wealth to bless the world. He's blessed you that you may do something for Him to benefit others. I love what this guy done. He built them a synagogue. Now, first of all, he's not a Jew. He's an outcast. He's a Gentile dog. He's an outcast. And no doubt, I want to say something as I studied about this man last night and this morning. You know when he built this synagogue, he's seen a lot of highfalutin religious people. But that didn't deter him from trying to get to where God was. You know the devil will give you any kind of excuse. I've heard excuses. When I'm about 95... and in heaven, I hope he lets me write a book on excuses and send it back down here. But you know, a lot of people, they'll hunt excuses why not to do something for God. Well, so and so. Why, if he's a Christian, the woods is full of them. Well, you know, he's seen a lot of hierarchy. He's seen a lot of people that I necessarily don't want to grill a hamburger with neither, honey. But he done something for God while he could do. Quit looking for excuses to sit on your backside. Quit hunting excuses. He's seen them walking in with their robes and their nose stuck up in the air. You ever watch that crowd walk in, friend? If it rained, they'd drown for sure. They'd drown. Boy, I'm gonna tell you what. He had looked around and we see his loyalty. He wanted to do something for God. I want to ask you something. Time's getting short. Tomorrow I turn 53 years old. Keep your opinions to yourself. I know I look 63. But I'm going to say, time's getting short. If you're going to do something for God, you better be getting it done. So we see his loyalty. He had built a synagogue. But I love not only his life and his Lord. He is a tough guy. I like old tough boys in love with Jesus. I ain't never liked a sissy. Somebody say amen right there. Some of you boys need to learn how to shake your hand right. Amen. Like a dead fish up in somebody's hand. Go and bear down on there. Get you one of them body solids or one of them body maxes or something. They advertising all night. Anybody ever tried to watch Gunsmoke at 12 o'clock? It's impossible. They're just selling stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. Not only his life, he was a man's man, buddy. And his loyalty. I love people that's loyal. I'm going to say something. No, don't, Brother David. I don't want to put an X on your back. I don't want to brag on you. But I do want to tell you to your face, I love you, David. And I will tell you this morning, I thank God for people that's loyal. Loyal to their God and loyal to the church. There's been a light out, Chunter. It's had two lights out of it for 6 weeks. I've been watching. I don't know why nobody won't put them two bulbs in that light. Don't look down now. Look up here and get you some preaching. It's not praying time right now. It's preaching time. God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. Amen. Say amen. Even though it hurts, say amen. Quit waiting on the housekeeper to do everything. He can't do everything like the preacher. Like the deacons. Like the leadership. Oh, you done got me mean now. His loyalty. Thank God for loyal people. But I like his love. He fell in love with his servant. I'm going to tell you why that he sought the Lord, because he had love for somebody else. He sent this religious crowd because he didn't feel good enough to go to him and say, would y'all go get God and help my servant? Because I love him. He's done something you know that nobody else would do. I want to say something right there. I wonder, would your boss go get God for you because of how good you are to your boss? You know, you'll never lead till you first can be led. You can mark that down. You can do payoffs. You can try to rub elbows with the dogs. But let me tell you something. God's not going to do nothing for you in your life until you can first be led. So this peasant, this servant, got this centurion's attention. And the Bible said that he was taken into a great illness. We're really not sure, but we know it was a desire sickness. Because the Bible said in verse 2, a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. I want to ask you something. You may not realize it this morning, but if you're not born again by the grace of God, you may be closer to death and hell than you really realize. I told the church earlier today, one of the best friends of my childhood stepped out and met God this week. As far as I know, he didn't have a testimony of salvation. And I'm going to say this, I'm not judging him. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. If he didn't know Jesus, he lifted his eyes in hell. I preached a message on hell the other week. Had a family coming, but I ain't seen them no more. That don't change this Bible, Brother Jake. It don't mean I'm going to back off preaching so somebody else's young'uns can go to hell just because they want to take theirs to hell. I'm not here to build a community center. I'm here to preach in a church. I'm here to serve God and try to do what's right and lead a people to God. Now, I like his love. He had a concern for somebody else. And so, I'm getting to the end of my sermon. You better be getting what I'm saying, because we're about done. We done had church now over an hour. I want to say this. There's a meeting, there's a man, but there's a ministry. I want to say this, his authority. Have you ever thought about this centurion he was over? You know what he said? Wherever I point, that's what they do. What I say pick up, they pick up. Matter of fact, I ain't got to do nothing but just bark out orders. Have you ever dawned on you that God may have put you in a high place to help somebody else? Have you ever thought about God may have put you where you are just not to benefit you and your family, but that you may benefit others? You know what I found out in this life? Now, I learned this. I have learned what I'm fixing to tell you this morning. It ain't what you got, it's who you know. You say, what you mean by that? I ain't got to have nothing as long as I know the right person. He can pull all the strings. And he can close all the doors. He's everything. And so we see this ministry. He had a concern for somebody else. His authority. I mean, God had entrusted him with a high position. We got teachers. We got rulers. We got a mix of people in this church. And I'm going to tell you something. It's no accident where we all are in life. God has placed us, because you know why, sister? We're peculiar people. God's placed us where we are. What are we doing with our placement? Brother David, there's no accident that a boy that's been to our farm twice. He's been there two times, got stuck both times. Had to spend 15 extra minutes with a preacher. That's no accident. No accident. God's put us in places to help others. And so, this leads me to my second point about this in the ministry. Not only his authority, but his actions. Look what he did. And then his affections. Man, he had a tender side to him. Let me tell you something. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus means for us to stand our ground. Whoever taught you that a preacher's supposed to be a wimp? Where's that in your Bible? Jesus walked in the temple and turned the tables over with a whip. He said, I've had enough of this crowd. But he was meek. He wasn't weak, he was meek. He loved others. And so we see his authority and we see his actions and we see his affections. But then, notice not only is there a man in a ministry, there's a mention. And I want you to get this in verse 3. Look what he said. There's a mention here. when he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And then he said something else in verse number 6. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest even enter under my roof. You know, he had received him in his heart, but he's a lot like us. He felt unworthy to receive him in his house. You listen to me. This centurion man believed in Jesus, or he wouldn't have sent for him. He had received him in his heart, but he felt too unworthy to bring him in his house. And I've noticed this, when people get like this, it gets God's attention. You know something? God honors always obedience and humbleness. Brother Lee had, I guess, Brother Lee, you had probably one of the most humble dads I've ever met in my life. I don't know. Anybody ever know Brother Grover? He was the most humblest man. And boy, you're talking about bringing balance to Brother Lee's house. His mom was a fireball, buddy. Fireball. Well, me and Miss Renee went over the house one time. We was talking. And I said, Miss Orne, does Brother Grover ever raise his voice? She said, no, he just goes around behind the kitchen window and sits down on the edge of the steps. You know what Brother Grover says? He said, then she raises the window up and talks to me through the window. Oh, he is an humble feller. He was so humble. He just kind just flowed from him. And you know what this centurion said? Lord, I'm in high ranking. I can tell people to go or come. But he said, God, I'm not even worthy you'd walk under my roof. You know, I found out people go to get help when they find out that they're not worthy. There ain't a better woman in this building than my wife. I'm talking about she's a good woman. I've lived with her 36. I know what I'm saying. That's a good woman, right? Now, you lacking on a preacher, but honey, you got you a preacher's wife. She's a good woman. And I'll pop your jaws over. Somebody say amen. But she seen how bad she was. Some of you waiting to see how good you can get, to see if you can get to heaven. You're going to die and go to hell in your sin. You better trust Christ, the only good one. You see, he had received him in his heart, but he felt too unworthy to bring him in his house. Now, you'll notice this. Not only is there a man and a ministry and a mention, but there's a marvel. This word captured me, Brother Lee, in verse 9. The Bible said when Jesus heard these things, he marveled not at them, but at him. Now, I want you to realize something. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And all of a sudden, God is marveled at what a man has done. I want to say this. I wonder, would God be marveled of what you've done for somebody else? We see this marvel. Now, I notice this, Brother Andy, in this marvel. Great faith is accompanied with great humility. A person's never going to do nothing with faith unless they have humility. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't realize where it's coming from, you go in no place. I remember one time a witch in this community, and keep your comments to yourself, sent me word, said by September so-and-so in 2000-something, she's going to take this building over. Well, there's been a few witches since then. Go say amen right there, somebody. But they got on their broom and rode out. Amen. That's because she didn't have a woman preacher. Go on, say amen right there. The Bible said, taking the oversight thereof. Some of you don't like a preacher with a backbone. I'm sorry you've never had a real preacher. Let anything go. Be in association, let the woman preacher come preach a Saturday evening sermon to you. Oh, it's just 11:30. We're just getting going good. Hey, Carter, I'm glad you had a good week, buddy. Preacher prayed for you this week. I wish everybody loved preaching the way you do with that pastor. Say amen, son. He's looking like a lot of y'all. But I'm going to tell you something. Your faith's not going no place without humility. You better lose this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do this. Oh, I can handle that. You ever tried to stop the end of a garden hose with a lot of pressure on the end of it, put your thumb over it? You say, well, I can handle this. What are you saying? I'm saying this Bible's still right. And I don't apologize about it. I didn't write it. I just read it loud. You say, that preacher hurt my feelings. No, this preacher ain't hurt your feelings. The Bible hurt your feelings. The Bible. Oh, well, you know, we just got to love everybody. That's right. We sure do. We love everybody. But we ain't backing off this book. I'm not backing off this. By the grace of God, I ain't back. Kill that rooster, Lord. What are you saying? Great faith is accompanied with great humility. Are you touching anyone because of your faith? Can I say that in closing? Are you touching anyone by your faith? There's a lot of y'all touch me this morning. Leads me to another thought. I'm dangerous. Y'all remember when Peter and them left the temple, went home, they found their mother-in-law with a fever. Ain't it amazing? You come out and watch this. You know why they just left the temple? God had just cast the demon out of a boy. They had a glorious service. And they walked home and the devil beat him home. And that's just the way the devil's going to do maybe you and me. He done working on me already. Because see, he wants to rob you joy of the previous service you've been in when you get home. So they just left the synagogue and walked in, and his mother-in-law was laid with a fever since it had been gone. The devil tried to steal his joy. Listen, don't let the devil get on you about what you said this morning. All you that stood and testified was a great blessing to others. Don't let the devil rear on you and you get home. Well, the devil try to steal you, your joy. I said something this morning preaching, and I've noticed that these few people here probably took offense to what I said, but I want to say something again. I didn't write this Bible. And you're not going to back me in a corner and make me be your puppet. Amen. And so I'm just going to shout and rejoice that I've got a God that blesses, and I'm glad the devil ain't got me yet. How you know? Because he's bothering me. But watch this. I done switched sermons. I'm just get back. Got a little dementia, but I'll get it back. Watch this. When they got home and they found out they had devil trouble, you know how they handled it? Watch this. God showed me this preaching this week. They was walking with Jesus. Jesus come home with them. Said, hey, Jesus, we got a problem here in the back room. Jesus. And Jesus reached over and rebuked it, and she rose up and ministered to them. It does matter who you're walking with. Glad I got Jesus as my friend. Ain't you glad Jesus go home with you from a service? I wanted to preach that more, what I'm preaching this morning, so I thought I'd just preach both of them. Now back to my message, the marvel. I wonder, Miss Jennifer comes, I just want you to come on the organ this morning, sister. I just want to ask you something. Are you touching anybody else by your faith? When this centurion come to Jesus, or Jesus came over there and seen what he said, I'm not even worthy you come under my roof. Well, Jesus done something great for him. Now, I want to say this. There was not only a marvel, but there was a miracle. There was a personal word. Look what it said. Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. He said, if you'll just say it, it'll work. Can I tell you what he says still works? The husband ought to be the head of his home. He ought to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That's a big verse. The wife ought to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. No, she's not a doormat. She's by his side. Sir, you're held responsible to raise your house in the Lord's work. Raise your children under the Word of God. Don't let a crowd offend you. I want to ask you something. Wonder how many times people have left the church and devil give them an excuse about what somebody said or did. People at Walmart offend you. Why you go back there? Sound like to me your priority's not in order. The miracle is a personal word, is a powerful word, is a plentiful word. I won't say he won a high opinion from others, but he held a low estimation of himself. Can I say that again? That's a good word right there. Y'all hear me? He won a high opinion from others, this centurion did. But he held a low estimation of himself. If you're going to get with God, you better quit thinking so much of yourself. Go to getting a high opinion of him. One man wrote this, and I'm done. He said it about Christopher Columbus. Talking about a faith miracle now. Matter of fact, it was so impactful to Christ, he marveled and he turned and he said this. He said in verse 9, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. The old writer said, Brother Mike, what I admire about Christopher Columbus is not what he discovered in the New World, but he went to look for it on the faith of an idea. This man, he saw what others did not see, and he felt what others did not feel. Boy, he had compassion. Love. He loved somebody but himself. Whatever you need this morning, I want to open this up. We've had a great service here today. We've had an unusual service. I'm glad the Lord's been here. But I want to open this altar up, and you come this morning. I want to ask you, has anybody got help from your faith? Has anybody? Have you had a thought about anybody else but you lately? Have you thought about going someplace by faith? Then you'll have to go by humbleness. You'll have to. You may just need a word brought to your house. That's all the centurion needed. Lord, if you'd just say a word to my house. Sir, ma'am, I wonder if God said a word to your house this morning anywhere. Wonder if He said anything. He said, Lord, I'm not even worthy to come under your roof, much less you come under mine. I'm walking lowly. Going to watch you do big things because you're a big God. God marveled. He said, I've never seen faith like this in Israel. What an impact this man had. What an impact. What a life. What joy. What he had. What he held. What he honored.